From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Biden says he's heading to the border, and retail pharmacies are becoming abortionists. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. While there is a lot of news unknown at the time we put this show together, we'll cover the Speaker of the House news in next week's show. But there's a lot of other important news this week. For instance, President Biden had this to say as he prepared for his first trip to the southern border.
The actions we're announcing today will make things better. We'll make things better, but will not fix the border problem completely. There's more that has to be done. I laid that out in the first week I was here. That work will not be done unless and until the Congress enacts and funds a more comprehensive immigration plan that I proposed on day one.
Doesn't quite sound like he's ready to embrace the problem and deliver a solution. Looks like he's pointing to Congress. Joining me now to discuss this is Chad Wolf. He is the former acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security in the Trump administration, is now the chairman for the Center of Homeland Security and Immigration at the American First Policy Institute. Chad, welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Tony.
Your reaction to the president's speech today?
Well, I listened to the president's speech, and it was, quite frankly, a little confusing and contradictory in times. There were three main parts to his speech and the measures that he outlined there. First was he's requesting more asylum officers and more immigration judges. And so what I take from that is he wants more individuals to process illegal aliens into the country. And this is the strategy that they have been undertaking for the past 24 months. And so he wants to double down on that. It's the wrong way, and it's the wrong approach. The second one was he wants to extend Title 42 to new populations. This is the same president and the same administration that has said out loud that they do not support Title 42. And in fact, they're before the Supreme Court arguing back in, you know, in February coming up to dismantle Title 42. So if your strategy depends on extending Title 42, but yet you're saying you need to eliminate it, I'm not sure what kind of strategy that is at the end of the day. And then the third piece is this parole program, a parole program that they instituted back in October for Venezuelans that they claim have reduced the number of Venezuelans coming into the country, which may be true, but the overall numbers continue to increase month after month. So 233,000, I believe, in the month of December. So while they may be limiting the number of Venezuelans coming in, other populations and other demographics are filling that void. So I don't think that the measures that he outlined today are really going to be altogether that impactful. And so I don't hold out a lot of hope. This is a little bit too little too late. They need a lot more dramatic actions to get the border under control.
Is this just kind of smoke and mirrors, if you will, just to try to deflect some of the angst that's coming forth from the American people and some of their own Democratic governors in these blue cities that have now been the recipients of busloads of migrants that have been brought over, compliments of Republican governors?
I think that's right, although it's hard to really understand. I think the president was asked, why now? Why is he going to the border now? And he gave some strange answer that he didn't want to go to the border until he understood where Title 42 stood in the courts, which is a very disjointed response. There's no reason that he could not have gone earlier down to the border to talk to the men and women of the Border Patrol and to really understand what's going on, aside from what's going on with Title 42. So it didn't really make any sense or going forward. So I think other parts of the speech and other parts of the plan were, again, confusing. He talked about gang violence in Central America is why people were coming to the border for asylum. Someone needs to tell the president that under U.S. law, simply gang violence is not a basis for asylum. It's persecution by your government. And so there are some fundamentally factual things that the president got wrong. And I think in doing so, I think he kind of signaled to the American people that they're not serious about a strategy and a plan. It really felt like they pulled this together at the last minute. It feels like his visit to El Paso, same place that Kamala Harris went, is at the last minute on his way to Mexico City. And so I don't feel like it's a real effort to really understand what's going on.
You know, Chad, I have to think that you are very frustrated with some of the things you hear from the administration, because I find it disingenuous having gone to the border a few times, and certainly not down there like you were, but I was there during the Trump administration, and I saw a transformation that took place with the policies that were adopted that simply sent people back to Mexico. And when my last trip to the border during the Trump administration, it was like a ghost town. They weren't processing anybody. There was a handful of people that were coming across. So for this administration to say they inherited a broken system, to me, just does not stack up to the facts.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's a statement that they have been using now for almost 2 years. But to your point, Tony, it's devoid of facts. If you actually look at what we did during the Trump administration, is not only did we initiate new policies, but we actually built on previous ones from previous administrations. So if the Biden administration really wants to get a hold of the border and get some control and bring some order back to the chaos, then they'll look to what worked. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel, which is what it seems as though they're trying to do. They could just go back to policies and programs and plans that actually work. Instead, they want to talk about a parole system where they're going to parole up to 30,000 individuals from now Cuba, Haiti, and Nicaragua into the United States. And what they didn't say, and what the president didn't say, is by doing that, they are basically saying that these individuals have no claim to asylum. Because if they did, they would go through the asylum system that the U.S. has set up. Instead, they're going to be paroled into the U.S. for any number of years. There is no long-term solution there. They're not filing asylum. They're not here. You know, they don't have a hearing before an asylum officer. They're not going before an immigration judge. And so that he's abusing the parole authority, just like a previous administration abused deferred action when they created DACA. And so this is I think this is a program that's going to be challenged in court.
Chad, just 30 seconds left. But politics aside, your biggest concern with this porous border?
I think it's the national security interest and the public safety concerns and threats that we see along that border every day. For those of us that work down there and that understand that, that is not reported on a lot in the news and in the numbers that we see here. But we know that Border Patrol agents are coming up against some very deadly and dangerous individuals. And the more that they're in processing facilities and not on the line, the more risk that the country is at.
All right. I would agree with that. Chad Wolf, great to see you. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
You can find out more about Chad Wolf when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We also invite you to check out our news site, The Washington Stand. You can find a link there at TonyPerkins.com.
Persecution of Christians is growing globally and becoming more aggressive every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's new book, Heroic Faith, highlights personal stories from those who endure religious persecution and takes a close look at the tragic circumstances Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith.
It is so important for God's children to spend time with Him in His Word, but it can be difficult to know where to start. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. That is why Family Research Council offers their Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. This plan will help you read the Bible daily so you can be transformed by God's Word. Sign up today by visiting frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Our next topic is going to surprise a lot of you. And to get us started, here's Tony Perkins with some important information.
All right, go ahead and jot this down because you're going to need it. The word pharmacy, it's pharmacy, and the number 67742. I'm going to tell you more about that in a moment. On the program yesterday, I mentioned that the FDA had changed its rules in order to allow retail pharmacies to sell chemical abortion pills. And we talked about on the air whether or not pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens would take the step of becoming really an outpost for the abortion industry, becoming, in essence, abortion clinics, because they would be dispensing abortion pills. Well, according to reports, both major chains plan to seek certification to be able to sell these abortion pills, despite the long history of medical complications that they cause that we talked about yesterday. You know, folks, we can't accept this. I mean, are you going to go into a pharmacy and do business the same place that they are in effect operating as an abortion clinic? I'm not. And that's why FRC Action has organized a petition effort to make your voice heard. Join me now to discuss this and how you can be a part of it is Mary Sock, director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. Mary, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on, Tony.
Yeah, Mary, this is kind of disappointing that CVS and Walgreens are both putting forth an effort to become, I mean, I can't describe it any other way. In effect, they're becoming the substitute abortion clinics that have closed down over the years.
That's right, Tony. We know that over 50% of the abortions performed and carried out in America are now chemical abortions. And we know that these abortions are four times as dangerous for women as the already incredibly dangerous surgical abortions, with the major complications being hemorrhage, incomplete abortion, and the need for blood transfusions. And what we're seeing here is that Walgreens and CVS are stepping up and performing the exact same action as Planned Parenthood. They're selling abortion drugs to women or to human traffickers. There's all sorts of issues with this, where Walgreens and CVS have essentially become a branch of the abortion industry.
Now, this is a process. We talked about this yesterday. They have to be certified to do this, but they have indicated, reports indicate, and we're trying to clarify it. We're sending communications to CVS and to Walgreens to verify this. But according to news reports, they are going to seek certification to become, again, in effect, abortion facilities where they will provide this abortion pill. Obviously, they won't be doing the follow-up. Of course, no, the abortion clinics don't do that either. The women are on their own once they take the pills. So tell us about the petition FRC Action has organized and how people can participate.
Well, this is a petition that's at frcaction.org/abortiondrugs. And it's one where you can take action here and tell Walgreens and CVS, we don't want you to become an abortion business. We want you to stay a pharmacy. There's all sorts of issues with chemical abortion drugs. They're incredibly dangerous for women, and every single one of them takes the life of an unrepeatable, beautiful child of God. And when a pharmacy, a place that is meant to be a place of healing, to administer medication that sustains and promotes life, turns into an abortion business, one that is destroying life, we have a major problem. And so this is the time for the American people to step up and to use their voice to tell these companies, say no, say that we're not going to become abortionists.
That's so true. Well said. So folks, this is one of those situations where, you know, people ask all the time, what can I do? How can I make a difference? Well, here it is. This is a petition that will go to CVS and go to Walgreens. You can either go to FRC Action or simply text the word pharmacy, that's PHARMACY, to 67742, and you'll get a link, and it'll take you directly to that petition, which you can fill out, and we will make sure that they get it. Again, pharmacy, text the word pharmacy to 67742, and we're going to keep you abreast of this, because this is, Mary, this is quite significant, because we've seen success in the pro-life movement of changing hearts and minds, and abortion clinics, they've shut down because they're profit-oriented, and they want to make money, and they're not making the money, so they're going to a drug, they're going to this abortion pill, and as you said, over 50% of abortions now are performed drugs, and I don't know this for certain, but I can speculate, knowing how this administration works. I have no doubt, given how quickly CVS and Walgreens announced that they were going to seek certification, that they've been in discussions with the Biden FDA prior to the announcement of the rule change, and they're preparing for this. And this is what the left wants. They want an abortion clinic on every corner. And that is, in essence, what will happen.
That is. And the other thing that Walgreens and CVS will listen to, in addition to a petition like this, is they'll listen to their pocketbook. And so for all of our viewers out there, boycott these pharmacies until they decide that they will not become an arm of the abortion business. And that sends a clear message, and one that we know organizations have listened to in the past.
Yeah, you're right. Mary Sock, thank you so much for joining us, and we're obviously going to stay on this and continue to track it.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right. Again, you can text the word pharmacy to 67742, 67742, and that'll take you to a link. Follow the link over, and you'll be able to sign that petition.
You can find out more about Mary Sock and the Center for Human Dignity when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
With FRC's Stand Firm app, you will have access to all of our content right at your fingertips. The Stand Firm app provides you with a variety of resources, such as our most recent radio programs, social media posts, and Washington Stand articles. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on the issues that matter to you. Visit the App Store on your mobile device and search Stand Firm to download FRC's Stand Firm app. Today, there are countless news outlets and so much opposing information. It can be hard to find a source you can really trust. This is why Family Research Council created the Washington Stand, an online daily news outlet that provides news and commentary on the biggest issues of the day, all written from a biblical worldview. Find credible reporting at WashingtonStand.com so that you know how to stand firm in our day. Again, stay informed by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
In today's culture, men need a battle plan, a call to biblical manhood, where they can be reminded of God's design for them to serve as provider, instructor, battle buddy, defender, and chaplain. What are the God-given roles and responsibilities for men? Family Research Council's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and Dr. Keenan Curtin's new book, Strong and Courageous, counters the culture's labeling of manhood and masculinity as toxic and offers a way forward for men. Purchase your copy of Strong and Courageous, A Call to Biblical Manhood at frc.org/strongandcourageous.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In the previous segment, Tony was talking with Mary Sock about the move by pharmacies to begin offering abortion drugs. With more, here's Tony Perkins.
All right, joining me now to give his take on this move by CVS and Walgreens is Justin Danhoff, head of corporate governance at Strive Asset Management, who is one of the nation's leading corporate activists with vast experience in shareholder engagement and proxy voting, and has been holding woke corporate America accountable. Justin, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, Tony. I appreciate the honor of joining you on this topic. It's very important.
So let's talk about this. We just announced this. We're just now putting this out, this petition to show Walgreens and CVS that there's opposition to their selling these pills. What other tactics do you recommend that would get the attention of these big pharmacy chains?
Yeah, well, you know, every couple of years in America, we hold political elections in the month of November. There are thousands of elections that take place every year that have just as much effect, I would argue, on our collective culture. And these happen at annual shareholder meetings. And so I think that the shareholders of CVS and Walgreens really need to show up, because you know who's on those ballots? It's not presidents and congressmen and senators. It's the board of directors. And these are very cushy positions. You have, you know, 6-7 meetings a year. You fly around in private jets. You get paid 6 or 7 figures for, you know, the doing very, very little work, frankly. But the shareholders have that vote and the ability to hold these board members accountable if you want to speak up for your values and your beliefs with your voting dollars.
You are seeing progress on this front. This is something you've been doing for a while. And and I've been watching this transformation of big business. I used to be a big supporter of business when I was in office because their values pretty much aligned with me. Free markets, you know, they did their business, they left everything else alone. But now they've moved into pushing what is described as this woke agenda. There is an awakening that appears to be taking place among conservative Republican lawmakers. And I think, if you use the term divorce, that there's certainly a division that's coming. And I think big business is going to, I think they're in for a shock, in my view.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's because they stepped out of line with the system that the founders created. I want to echo something that Mary said, that Americans need to use their voice, because our founders set up a system that gave everyday citizens a voice. And that was through voting for politicians that would go to state houses and go to Washington, D.C. to advocate on behalf of our values. And one part of that tripart system was then the judiciary, where we gave our president the authority to appoint, then through the approval process of the U.S. Senate, a Supreme Court. And so the people have used their voice and spoken at the ballot box through their constituents and then through those appointed judges. And so what's happened is corporate America has interjected themselves in our tripart system of government, and they've stolen the voice of everyday citizens by acting as an emperor and making decisions on behalf of them when they were never part of the system to begin with.
But historically, these big corporate giants have sought favorable regulatory and tax policy from Republicans who, as I said, we believe in free markets. We don't like a lot of regulation. But they've been taking their profits then and giving them away and sowing them into leftist ideas when it comes to governance, the environment, and social policy. And you have governors like Ron DeSantis that are saying, enough. We're not going to help you and hand you a club to beat us over the head with.
Yeah, that's right. I think that state actors have a really important role to play in this situation. We've seen for, you know, more than a decade plus, CalPERS in California, for example, the New York comptroller in New York, they've taken very activist positions with the money of the pensioners in those states, whether it's putting up board members or shareholder proposals to push their pet ESG causes. Well, I think there has been an awakening that red state money doesn't have to follow the same line, that they can use those pension funds to vote the values and engage with corporations on the values of the pensioners in those states as well. And I find it very welcome, but action has to be taken. It can't be political grandstanding. So right. I encourage you, these states to take a look at their voting behavior and really dig in and see how the votes they're making, again, at thousands of meetings every year, are affecting our collective culture.
Okay, so let's talk about the individual, our average viewer out here who sees this, concerned about it. You know, we've lost many of the institutions, the long march through the institutions, corporate America that was based upon, again, free market principles, was kind of the last, but it seems to be folding in the face of all this wokeism. What steps should our viewers and listeners take to be a part of the solution?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, obviously what you and Mary are doing is incredibly important and impactful. I would encourage folks to join up with what you're engaging with. But also, every business has a customer relations line. And CVS and Walgreens, they should be answering a call every 5 seconds tomorrow, if not every second, from everyone listening to your show, if they're a customer. Because it's hard to have any pharmacy in America that's not Walgreens or CVS, right? They're generally, they're the largest, they're the most convenient to get to. And so if you're a customer, if you're a consumer, call them. If you're an investor, call the investor relations line. Again, that should be, spotlighted all day, every day, tomorrow. And again, every day until they change their decision-making process. Because as you rightly pointed out, they were very likely engaged with the other side on this issue before they made their decision to announce that they were going to use mifepristone which, again, Mary rightly pointed out, over 50% of abortions are performed this way. And I'm afraid, Tony, I'm very afraid for the future. If this goes forward at CVS and Walgreens, that number is going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
70%.
So the talking process here, Dan, so I'm convinced that they, because they were prepared, they rolled out an announcement that they were seeking certification under the new rules. And these rules are so extensive, it takes you a while just to read through them. So to be able to say, yeah, we're seeking certification tells me they were in conversations. They knew what these rules look like. Would this have been something that they would have taken to their board, the CEO? Would he have taken this to the board of directors of Walgreens or CVS? Or is this something that is considered something that the CEO would have done on his own?
It's very likely the CEO did this on their own. I would be shocked if this reached the board level. And that's why we should be reaching out to the board, because the board can hold the CEO accountable. They're one of the very few actors, but the board is accountable to the shareholders, okay. Right? It is sort of like a democracy in that way. Like, you know, just like politicians are responsible to the American electorate, the shareholders with one or two shares, you don't have to be a large shareholder. You can have a lot of sway in the decision-making of corporate leaders. We just need to actually engage and vote in ways that reflect your values.
Good guidance, and we're getting right on that, and we're going to start compiling that information and get that out to our folks. Dan, always great to see you. Thanks so much for Justin. Thanks so much for joining us. Great job. Always appreciate having you on the program.
Thank you, Tony. Have a good one.
All right, Justin Danhoff, an expert at what he does. So glad he's on our side. All right, we're going to get that information for you. We're going to get those phone numbers and the board members. But in the meantime, go ahead and sign that petition, pharmacy, to 67742. Text the word pharmacy to 67742. You'll get a link. Follow the link over, and you can sign the petition. You also go to FRC Action.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.